Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special episode of the Coastline Covenant podcast. It's a special episode because it's not like a normal episode where there's like an interview or a topic. This is more like a devotional or an audio experience meant to give you 10 minutes of peace today. So if you have a little bit of time to spare, you're waiting for something to come out of the oven, or you're driving to a loved one's house, put this on and reflect on some of the spiritual truths that we talk about. No matter what, we hope you have a great Thanksgiving. We hope you are spending it with your friends or your family or with loved ones, and just know that we are thankful for you. We are thankful that you listen to the podcast, and we are excited to bring some more fun episodes and interviews as we close out 2023. But until then, we'll see you next week and every single week after that. It is extremely common for most people near the end of the year to take time and space to think about the things that made this year the year that it was. You think about the experiences, the moments, and the memories, and then combine them, and hopefully you find some sort of meaning that helps you contextualize this year in the overall story of your life. Some people do this with journaling. They take a look at all the entries that they've done throughout the year. Some people look at pictures that they've taken. Some people sit with a group of friends and recount their year. Some people sit with their partner and talk about it. But personally, I like to think about the TV shows and the movies and the music that I enjoyed. What did that piece of art say about my life at that time? Why did I gravitate towards that this particular year? And in the story of my 2023, there is no way I can answer that question without mentioning Bruce Springsteen. This past year, I became obsessed with Bruce Springsteen. I don't know when, and I don't know why, but one day I looked around and The Boss was suddenly everywhere. In all of my playlists, in all of my conversations, in all of my YouTube searches, there was Bruce Springsteen. And when you peruse the internet looking for Bruce content, you're never disappointed because he is a very public man. He's been on every talk show. He's got dozens of profiles and a million different news programs. He has like a billion interviews from across the years. He has a podcast with President Barack Obama. He has an autobiography. He has a Broadway show. He really has so many things that are about him. And I want to talk about the Broadway show for a second because it's really, really unique. It's not like a typical Broadway show where it's like using the music of Bruce Springsteen to tell a story because you couldn't really pay me to watch that. It's really, really different than that. It's Bruce alone basically doing an acoustic performance, and it's strung together by monologues about his life, his career, and his music. Very early on in the performance, in the middle of the song Growing Up, Bruce Springsteen does something really strange. He confesses to his audience the trick behind his songwriting and his unique point of view. Take a listen.
I've never held an honest job in my entire life. I've never done any hard labor. I've never worked 9 to 5. I've never worked 5 days a week until right now. I don't like it. I've never seen the inside of a factory, and yet it's all I've ever written about. Standing before you is a man who has become wildly and absurdly successful, writing about something of which he has had absolutely no personal experience. I made it all up. That's how good I am.
Springsteen calls this ability to craft intricate, lived-in songs about lives that he's never led his magic trick. He attributes his success to the success of this magic trick. People are able to hear themselves in his music. They're able to see themselves in his performances. Really, for any situation or stage of life, there's a Springsteen song that can give you guidance, advice, and language to help you get through it just a little bit easier. And now, I don't want to over-spiritualize this, but the Apostle Paul basically says the same thing in 1 Corinthians 9:19 through 23. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all of this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Much like Springsteen, Paul says that for the Christian, it is imperative that you, quote, become all things to all people for the sake of the gospel. Now, I've heard this passage and this point preached dozens of times, and each time I hear it, I try and consider how I can apply this truth to my own life, and I'm always met with this really interesting paradox. How can I be me while still being all things to all people? If I'm not something, how can I authentically be that thing for somebody else? For Bruce Springsteen, it's a magic trick. But for the believer, it's something real. It's something different. It's someone different. John chapter 7 finds Jesus and his followers at the Festival of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. According to scholar Dr. Mickey Klink, this festival or feast was one of the most sacred Jewish holidays. It occurred 6 months after the Passover and it lasted 7 days. And in those 7 days, the people would celebrate with food like grapes and olives while setting up tents and booths all over the city as a way to remember the years of desert wandering in the time of Moses. Also in those 7 days, priests drew water from a pool and carried it in a golden pitcher to the temple. When this happened, psalms of thanksgiving and praise were sung to the Lord as a way to thank him for the physical relief of receiving water in the desert and for the way that the water mirrors the spiritual relief of God's love and power that satisfies our souls. Psalm 63 comes to mind where David says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." Now on the 8th day, or the last day of the festival, there was an extra added day for the people to look forward and to focus on the work that God was going to do through the Messiah, a work of liberation, restoration, and rescue from earthly oppression like the Romans and from the spiritual oppression of sin. Now, I don't think it's a reach to say that most people would come to this festival with the expectation that they were not only going to have a good time, but they were also going to receive some answers to their deep existential questions like, am I longing for God? If so, where? Or what's ultimately going to happen to me and to my people when everything is said and done? These things were probably on their mind as they went to the Festival of Tabernacles. And I think this festival beautifully illustrates the way that God uses these universal physical ideas like thirst to draw us into thinking deeper about universal spiritual things as well. Now, with all of that in mind, let's listen to Jesus' words in John 7:37 through 38. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Now, without any contextual knowledge, this is a rich passage. However, knowing about the water and the festival and the longing of the Jewish people makes Jesus' words that much more effective. Jesus is essentially saying that both the desire to celebrate as well as those deep questions that you have cannot be satisfied in a single festival or what that single festival represents. Only in Jesus can both be satisfied. He's saying that you'll come to this festival again, and you'll come to dozens after that. And each time you'll leave wanting more fun, wanting more of an experience, wanting more answers. But come to me, and you'll never be thirsty again. It is only through Jesus that one can experience both the temporal and existential fullness. Fullness that actually lasts, and fullness that actually satisfies. That's Jesus' message to these people in the Gospel of John, and it's his message to us today. But what does that have to do with Bruce Springsteen, and what does that have to do with Thanksgiving? Jesus' words in John 7:37 and 38 are an invitation. Come to me and drink. But they also illustrate a reality that I think many of us need to keep in mind these days. The same living water that we receive from Jesus flows through and out of us. The fulfillment that we have in Christ is not meant to live in us, but it's meant to pour out of us for others. We take the living water and we extend it out. I think that's how Paul can be all things to all people. It's not a matter of personality or identity or changing those things. It's a matter of allowing Christ to flow through you and to flow out of you. The word that comes to mind is conduit. Literally, the definition of the word conduit is a channel for conveying water or another fluid. That's practical, that's physical. But like water, there's also a non-physical element. A conduit is someone who acts as a channel for the transmission of something. And that something can be anything, but not limited to peace, joy, forgiveness, gentleness, hope, etc., etc. Our call as Christians is not just to be all things to all people. It's a call to recognize our place as conduits for the living water of Jesus. And on a day like Thanksgiving, this is an important call to remember. It's important to remember that you have access and are connected to the source, not a source of true fullness. So if your patience is being tested, if your anxiety is flaring up, if your introverted nature is being challenged or your extroverted nature is being denied, if your lack of community fuels your loneliness, or if your overabundance of plans fuels your desire to retreat, if you don't know why you're where you are, if you don't want to be where you are, if you don't want to be where you're going, if you don't have anything to be thankful for, try and remember that the fullness to all of that emptiness, the solution to all of those problems, it's really there in Jesus. But I also think this idea of being a conduit of Jesus is important to remember, because today you probably need to be something to someone. Maybe you need to be someone's peace. Maybe you need to be someone's stability. Maybe you need to be someone's rest. Maybe you need to be someone's laugh. Maybe you need to be someone's connection to tradition. Maybe you need to be someone's excuse to take a walk around the block. Maybe you need to be someone's thing that they're thankful for this year. Any one of those situations comes with a lot of pressure, but once you remember where your water's coming from, it doesn't feel so daunting, right? I'll end with this. If at any point you need to remember this reality, just take a sip of water. Take a sip of water, and with that brief moment, remind yourself that you definitely need Jesus and someone probably needs you. And just like you're thankful for Jesus's role and power in your life, the way in which you extend his love in this moment might trigger gratitude in someone at the level they didn't think was possible. They might be challenged in such an unexpected way that it causes them to come up to you and say, "Hey, back there, when you were able to keep a cool head during that political discussion, how?" Or, "Hey, how is it that you are happy to be such a servant today? What's your magic trick?" You can smile. And you can say, "Oh no, there's no magic trick. I just happen to know a guy." You can invite them to experience the living water of Jesus that not only flows through you, but flows through him. Happy Thanksgiving from the Coastline Covenant Podcast. We will see you next week and every single week after that.
The screen door slams, Mary's dress waves. Like a vision, she dances across the porch as the radio plays. Roy Orbison singing for the lonely. "Hey, that's me, and I want you only. Don't turn me home again."